I'd like to ask you a question this morning. I'd like to ask you, what is the worst thing that you have ever done? Don't say it out loud. What is the worst thing that you have ever done? And then I'd like to ask you, have you ever told anybody about that worst thing that you have ever done? Someone you trusted, maybe a stranger who you knew wouldn't tell anyone else. Have you ever shared with someone else what the worst thing that you've ever done was? Or even a step further, if whatever you did happened to hurt someone in some way, have you ever confessed to that person and asked for their forgiveness, repented, and sought reconciliation with them? What is the worst thing that you've done, and have you sought forgiveness for it? Today we turn our attention to two of Jesus's disciples. You may have inferred from the readings this morning who those two are. Today we turn our attention to Judas and to Simon Peter. I think if we were thinking back on the group of men, the inner circle who traveled with Jesus for those years, his disciples who became his apostles, and if we were to set up a spectrum of those disciples, or maybe kind of a totem pole, we'd probably put Simon Peter at the top. He seemed to be chief among them. And if we were to put anybody at the bottom, it would almost certainly be Judas. So these two represent somewhat polar opposites of the experience of the disciples of Jesus Christ during his ministry and leading up to his death and to his resurrection. It would seem that they have very little in common, but I think what we're going to find today in examining these texts and examining these two disciples, they share a good bit in common. Judas, of course, we know very little about in the Gospels. Everything we seem to know about Judas is centered on his decision and his actions that led to his betrayal of Jesus, that ultimately led to Jesus' death. Anytime we think of Judas, the thing that we think about is that he gave his loyalty to the chief priests and elders for a price, and he handed Jesus over to his trial and crucifixion and everything around what happened there, including our text for today that led to his demise. But we know a lot about Simon Peter from the scriptures. He appears a good deal, maybe more than any other disciple. We know more about him. We know he's the one that Jesus renamed and said, "I'm going to call you Peter because on this rock I will build my church." We know that he's the one that stepped out of the boat and started walking to Jesus when Jesus was walking on the water. We know that Simon Peter was the one who drew his sword when those came to arrest Jesus. We even know that Simon Peter is the one on whom Jesus built his church. We know that he became a saint in the church, and we often talk about how he's the one standing at the pearly gates with the keys, ready to accept our ride all day pass when we get there and let us in. We know a lot about Simon Peter. And I think, generally speaking, we think unfavorably of Judas and we think favorably of Simon Peter. But the fact is, they both did something terribly wrong right around the time of Jesus' death. They may have answered that first question I asked with what they did the days leading up to Jesus' arrest and death. Judas betrayed Jesus for 30 pieces of silver. In one gospel account, he does so by kissing Jesus on the cheek to make it even more personal. Simon Peter, of course, even after Jesus had predicted it and he had denied that it would ever happen, denies Jesus three different times after Jesus is arrested and as he's about to go on trial. Three different people think that they recognize him and that he was part of the group with Jesus, and three different times he says, "No, you've got the wrong guy. I wasn't with him," fearful of what might happen to him. Until, of course, the cock crows twice, and he remembers what Jesus had told him. They both did things that they may have regretted the most in their whole lives that led up to Jesus' ultimate death, his trial, his death. And yet, after doing those things, they took two totally divergent paths, ultimately. And it is in analyzing those reactions and paths that I think we learn some things today, that we take a word from the word today. And there's some things that happened, that took place, some things we can notice that I think in particular we want to key in on today. First, I think it's important to note the timing of what happened with Judas and with Simon Peter after they had done what they might say was the worst thing that they'd ever done in their lives. You see, after Judas had done what he had done and betrayed Jesus, he died. On one account, in the account for today, he hanged himself. In Luke's account, at the beginning of Acts, it says he stumbled in a field and his guts spewed out from him. Whatever the case may be, he died. Maybe even by his own hand. And he died before Jesus was raised from the dead. Judas died before the resurrection. He didn't get to see the glory of the empty tomb. He didn't get to hear the good news that death had lost. Simon Peter, after he had denied Jesus and felt terrible about it, stuck around. And Simon Peter himself got to witness the resurrection. He got to see the risen Lord. He, in fact, got to have a one-on-one conversation with Jesus in those days following the resurrection. Simon Peter got to experience the hope and the grace and the forgiveness that comes with the resurrection. Judas didn't get to experience that. He was gone before it happened. Dead, alone, desperate, grieving, we can only imagine. Judas died before the resurrection. Peter got to see the resurrection. And that made all the difference for the two of them. I think it's also important to note who they went to, Judas and Peter, after they had realized that what they had done was wrong, after they were devastated by their own choices and actions. You see, Peter ultimately got to stand before the risen Lord. And in this passage from John that we heard read today, had his own opportunity in his own way to repent and to find forgiveness and ultimately to find restoration with Jesus Christ himself. And Christ stood there before him. And he not only in his own way forgave him and restored him, he put a mantle upon him. "Feed my sheep," he said. "Take care of my people." And we know that from there, after he was restored, Peter went on to lead the early church. He was the chief bishop of the church in Jerusalem. It was his mission to the Gentiles to change the course of the church forever. And it was because when he eventually came to his senses and realized that what he had done was wrong, he had the opportunity to stand in the presence of the living Christ, the resurrected Christ, and in his own way atone for his sins, and most importantly, find forgiveness and grace and mercy in the person of Jesus Christ. Judas didn't have the opportunity to meet with Christ. When Judas came to his senses and realized that what he had done was wrong, when he felt great remorse, he stood before the chief priests and the elders. And he told them, "I can't accept this money. It's blood money. I can't live with this." And Judas was not met with grace and mercy and forgiveness. The chief priests and elders didn't care about him at all. Said, "What is it to us? Do with it as you wish. Move on from us. We want nothing more to do with you. You've served your purpose." And he went from that place and he hanged himself. Peter met with the risen Christ and with mercy and grace and forgiveness. Judas met with a closed door and a harsh word. The third thing I think it's important for us to note here is how we can imagine the other disciples responded or didn't respond. This is, if you will, an argument from silence. There's no attestation to this in the scriptures, but we can piece some things together. For after Peter had denied Jesus in the way that Jesus had predicted and he said would never happen, after he'd turned his back on Jesus Christ in Jesus' greatest hour of need, he still found his way back to his community. He was still then found in those days after with the disciples in the upper room, and then again meeting with Jesus. One way or another, the disciples had decided that what Peter had chosen to do and had done didn't disqualify him from their community, from their love and their support. They knew they were all culpable in some part of that. And so he was welcomed back, ultimately given the opportunity to stand before the risen Lord, because he had been restored to the community. The disciples had reached out to him in some way and at least gathered with him and let him into the fold. It doesn't seem to be the case for Judas. It doesn't seem to be the case that he had the opportunity to go back to the disciples and to be restored into that community. Maybe we can understand why. Maybe he didn't seek it. Maybe even if he did, the disciples weren't willing to accept him. Whatever the case may be, Judas wasn't restored to that community. And because he wasn't restored to that community, he was left alone. Left to wonder if he could ever be forgiven for what he had done. And ultimately choosing, I believe, that he couldn't. And taking his own life because he couldn't bear the guilt any longer. It makes me wonder what the world would be like, what the church would be like if the disciples had reached out to Judas, had stopped him from taking his own life, had welcomed him back into the community despite what he had done, offered him a word of forgiveness and reconciliation. What would the church be like if going forward one of the pillars of the church was Judas, the one who had betrayed Jesus? What would it be like if Judas had had his own opportunity to stand before the risen Christ? What would Jesus have said to him? I can't imagine that it would be anything but some word of forgiveness and love, just as he had for Peter. What would it be like if we had statues and frescoes of Saint Judas, the patron saint of forgiveness, perhaps? I have a feeling our story might be different if Judas had been restored into the community, if Judas had found his own place in the life of the church in those days and weeks and years following Jesus' resurrection, following his ascension, the work that Peter and Paul and all others were doing. What would it have been like if Judas had had the chance to be restored by that community? And so after all of that, I think there are a few things for us to take away as we seek to be disciples and apostles of Jesus Christ. I think first and foremost, it's important for us to remember how important the resurrection is to those of us who fall prey to sin day in and day out. How important the good news of Jesus Christ's resurrection from the grave, of his defeat of sin and death, is to those of us who wrestle every day with sin. Step back just a few moments with me. What was it that you thought of was the worst thing you have ever done in your life? And now imagine for a moment that you didn't have the good news of Jesus Christ, that you could be forgiven for that. That didn't have to be a weight on you for the rest of your life and maybe deny you entry into salvation and an everlasting life with God. That's how Judas felt. Because he didn't know the resurrection. Peter knew the resurrection, and he knew, ultimately, that though he had turned his back on Jesus, Jesus wouldn't turn his back on him. And he could be restored. So the good news for us is the resurrection has happened, and we know that. And the weight of sin, the despair of the things that we have done and said that we know we shouldn't have done, need not weigh us down, for we can be forgiven. We need not despair as Judas despaired. I think we also learn that it's important who we go to when we recognize that we have sinned. Whether we go to those who think they know what God wants and does, those who think they hold the answers to all of God's rules, the religious elite or others, who have their own agendas and who themselves are fearful of the good news of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, whether we go to them or whether we go to Christ himself, and we bring that great weight of our lives, we say, I've done terrible things, Lord. And I am ashamed and I am remorseful, maybe to the point of wanting to end my own life. And we hear Jesus say, do you love me? And we can respond, yes, I love you. And we can hear Jesus say to us, feed my sheep, because I love you too. And this isn't the end of your story, this worst thing you have ever done. That doesn't define you. Your identity as a child of God, as my brother and sister in faith, that's what defines you. So it matters. It matters who we go to, who we bring our sin and our burden to. Bring it to Christ. Do as Simon Peter did. Learn from Judas. And on the corporate level, I think it means that as a church, we need to be careful where we draw the line on people. We've all done things that we are not proud of. We've all sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Every one of us has an answer to that question I asked: what is the worst thing you've done in your life? This community needs to be better than the disciples. We as the church, as Christ Memorial and as the church, capital C, need to learn from Judas and from Simon Peter that it makes a difference whether or not we open our arms to somebody, even if they've done something to hurt us and to wrong us, even if they've done something that we think hurts and wrongs God or Jesus Christ. Because look at Judas and look at Simon Peter. Judas is in his own way a footnote. Simon Peter is the pillar and the rock on which Jesus Christ built his church, and it wasn't because Simon was perfect. It was because the community accepted him. And they saw the example of Jesus forgiving him and restoring him, and they followed suit. So you see, we have a lot to learn from Judas and from Simon Peter. And what it means when we mess up, when we sin, when we do those things that we know we shouldn't do, even if we realize it afterwards. And that is good news for this season, this Easter season, and it is good news for every season. Because Jesus Christ is raised from the dead, we know that. We know who we can go to when we feel the weight and burden of sin. And we know how we should act as a church in opening our arms to one another and to others who come bearing their own weight of sin. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.